worship service. I just have one portion of scripture found in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. The word of the Lord says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." They said, we will not walk therein. Stand ye in the ways. If you do, you'll see something happen. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And when you find that old path that is the good way, walk therein. And then you will find rest for your souls. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes this morning, standing in the way. Standing in the way. Last night was another one of those nights that I came home completely exhausted from another week of trying to cram a week and a half's work into a week's worth of work. And Wednesday night we had service, and what a great time we had. I don't think it was a record-breaking crowd, but I'm telling you what, when your Wednesday nights start out doing your Sunday mornings, you know you got something going on Wednesday nights. And it was a great time in here Wednesday night. It was just a buzz with all kinds of activities and things going on, and different classes that were taking place. And I looked out across the adult class in the fellowship hall and saw that almost all the seats around the tables were taken up, and people were lined up all along this wall of the fellowship hall to hear what the word of the Lord had to say. Amen. I'm thankful for Sunday morning evangelistic service. I love when the power of the Lord moves upon our emotions and that kind of thing. But I'm telling you one thing. When you get a stable diet of the teaching of the word about how to just live day by day, there's nothing that can impact your life more than the teaching of the word of the Lord. Amen. The service went on. We had a good time. When it's over with, I'm usually emotionally wrung out. Wednesdays are a long day for me in preparation for the service and just getting geared up in the right frame of mind. And I went home and I went to bed Wednesday night. 4.5 hours later, that alarm clock's going off. And I'm getting up after about the third time of hitting snooze. I'm rolling out of bed. I'm throwing on my clothes, and I'm headed off to work. And I worked that day. And a lot of times when Thursdays, I feel a little bit, you know, weary just from not getting enough sleep. But I felt good Thursday evening. Came home, got busy, went to drove another hour to a funeral. Got home about 10 o'clock that night and went to bed after I wound down for a little bit. And got about 5 hours of sleep Thursday night. Got up Friday morning, went to work. 4:05, the alarm clock went off, and my wife, she's telling me, you be careful on the way to work. She knows how I operate. She understands that I'm running on a little bit of fumes, but she called me Friday on my way home from work, and we were talking. She said, how do you feel? I said, surprisingly well. I feel really good. I don't feel sleepy. I don't feel tired. I'm feeling really good. And so I made it home from work and got busy again, got things going, and went to bed Friday night. And about 5.5 hours later, the alarm clock goes off, and I get up and go to work and work a 12-hour shift on Saturdays. And I get home. It's about 6:15 yesterday evening, and everything was going all right. We had been talking to each other throughout the day. How you feeling? Feeling good. It's amazing. I'm just feeling really good. And I was really good all the way through my work day. It was that hour-long drive home that got me. Right at the tail end. Almost home. And I start doing one of these numbers, you know, like, whew. I start patting myself on top of the head. They say that works, you know, that works as long as you're patting yourself on top of the head. But when you're in traffic rolling down the interstate and you're patting yourself on top of the head, I can see people on the phone doing double take, like, you know, and they're hanging up and calling 911. Hey, we got a nut job driving down the interstate next to me. You know, I'm rolling down windows. I'm turning up the radio, you know, KMOX is blasting on my radio and I'm doing everything I can, you know, trying to shake my head and get myself snapping out of it. And everything would work just momentarily. And I'm on, probably about 15 minutes, on a windy road, 15 minutes away from home, right at the tail end. And I'm really struggling at this point. I'm thinking to myself, maybe just pull off and rest your eyes for a moment. But I know how that goes for me. I wake up 4.5 hours later, you know, and my wife's been trying to call, wondering where I'm at. And so I was like, I can make it. I'm almost home. I'm almost there. My eyes are kind of crossing a little bit. And you know how it plays tricks on you a little bit. And all of a sudden, I'm going around this curve, and I see a water puddle, which I realized it was a water puddle now, but in my kind of sleep-stated stupor, that water puddle looked like a raccoon that was darting out in front of me. Brother, that'll wake you up. That will wake you up. You're on the curve, and you're headed down the road 55 miles an hour, and you think a raccoon, especially in the little car that I was driving, all it takes is a raccoon to completely destroy a car like that, you know? And I swerved a little bit and kept it on the road, and I was awake for about 3 more minutes, and still sleep decided to start taking over again. I got home. I told my wife, I said, I need to lay down just for a few minutes. She said, well, we're supposed to go over and see, the kids in just a little while, the grandsons. If there's anything that will keep me moving, it's my 2 grandsons. And I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I'm glad they invited us over because I was going to barge in. I hadn't seen them in a couple of days. These guys get stuck with us whether they like it or not sometimes. Like, hey, I'm not asking. I'm telling you, I'm coming to your house. And it's not that you, I don't care where you're at. Just leave the kids out there and we'll be fine. It's not quite that bad. I'm stretching the truth a little bit here. So I laid down for just a moment's time and I said, if you just give me 15, 20 minutes. And I said, I don't even know if I'll fall asleep. Yeah, right. I was out quick. And the next thing I know, my wife's over me. She's pushing on my shoulder, trying to wake me up. And I woke up with a start. She said, did you not hear me? She said, I was saying, Doug, 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 Doug. And I said, I didn't hear a thing. She goes, I know. She said, you were out. I'd fallen asleep. So after about a 10-minute nap, we got up and went over to see the grandsons for a little while, maybe about an hour, and came back home. My daughter said to me last night, she said, Dad, you look really tired. And I said, I am. I'm tired. Even that little nap, you know, it helped keep me going for about another, you know, hour, but it's just not enough. I just can't shake this. I can't, you know, I can't move myself out of this. I needed to get home and go to bed. So we went home after a little while and I decided I was going to just, you know, relax and chill out, you know, with a couple of my good friends, for just a little while, my good friends, Cookies and Milk. And I laid down with Cookies and Milk in hand and I thought, you know what? I'm going to get up a little bit later and I need to brush my teeth. You know, I need to get in my pajamas. I need to, take a shower real quick after a long work day. And so I just kicked my cowboy boots off there and I laid down in my blue jeans and I had my little hooded jacket on and I thought my socks were still on and I was still completely dressed. And I don't think I had my glasses on. I think I pulled those off and I finished up that Cookies and Milk and that's the last I remember. Until 5:30 this morning, I woke up completely clothed, hadn't moved, not an inch. You know what? I needed to brush my teeth. I needed to take a shower. Now, this doesn't happen all the time. I do take care of myself. I have a personal hygiene routine. I did get a shower this morning before I came to church. So if you shake my hand or you want to hug my neck, it's safe. We're okay there, okay? So I needed to do all those things. I needed to brush my teeth. I needed to, get in my clothing for going to sleep. I needed to take a shower. But my body says, no, you don't, at least not right now. It's time for you to get some rest. It's time for you. I don't care what's on your agenda. I don't care who else needs you. I don't care what else you might think you need to do. I'm telling you right now, you've got to stop because if you don't, I'm going to make you. And that's exactly what happened. The thing is, we need rest. Our bodies are designed to have rest in order to function properly. The medical world will tell you that rest is one of the key components to good health. There are many different meds that a doctor can prescribe for you so that you can physically rest. But what do you do? Here's a real question. What do you do about a troubled soul that cannot find rest? Is there a medication? Is there a pill? Is there a drug? I'm here to tell you, there is nothing that this world can provide for a soul that is not at rest except for one thing. And that one thing is Jesus Christ. You need Him. You must have Him. You can't mask it with some other drug. You can't mask it with some other form of thing that might kind of cover it for a while. We need Jesus. Jeremiah wrote the text this morning. He was called the weeping prophet because he cried a lot. But there was a reason that he cried. He wasn't just an emotional, you know, softy. He cried because he looked at the nation that he loved. He looked at the people that he loved. He looked at the people that were doing some things when they should have been doing other things. And he said, you know what? If we could just get our hearts right, if we could just get back to the old ways, if we could just be reminded that there's a better way than the way that we're traveling, he said, things could be so much different than what they are now. They were a nation of troubled souls. If you read the entire sixth chapter, you'll see that God was still in love with His people, but He was watching as His people's enemies were about to overtake her. One of those enemies was being false doctrine from within. Verse 13, if you read it, says the prophets and the priests were dealing falsely. They were a very covetous group. They wanted what they could get. They wanted what they could glean. They didn't care how they got it. They didn't care that the nation was being torn apart. They didn't care that the nation was in turmoil and there was no such thing as peace. They didn't care that their enemies were breathing down their neck. All they cared about was saying whatever needed to be said in order for the people to give them what they wanted. They didn't care if it meant a compromised doctrine. They didn't care if it took them down a path of destruction. All they cared about was themselves. And the Bible tells us that the false doctrine was dealt from within Israel. And they were saying something to the people. They were saying, peace, peace. But the Bible says that the nation itself and the people just had a very small portion of the peace that they got. And the portion of peace that they got was just from hearing their priests and their prophets telling them, it's all going to be okay. You just do it this way. Just do what I tell you to do. Compromise a little bit and we'll make peace with our enemies. Compromise a little bit and I won't preach so hard to you. Compromise a little bit and do what I tell you to do and you'll have some peace. And so they decided that they would listen to the false doctrine that the priests and the prophets were telling them, and it only brought them a small amount of peace that didn't last them long at all. And that's why Jeremiah wrote what he said. He told them, stand in the ways. Quit listening to the false doctrine. Quit listening to those that are telling you a way that is a compromising way. Amen. There was no peace. It was a cry to compromise truth and to give up the old path and to give up the old ways and to buy into a compromising doctrine. But Jeremiah was heralding the old ways and the old path. He said, we need to get back to what took care of us in the first place. We need to go back to our first love. We need to remember the days when God was fighting for us. We need to get back to the old ways and quit compromising everything. Let me say this. I'd rather have peace with God than peace with man any day. And sometimes having peace with God means being at odds with man. Now, my very nature, I want people to like me. I want people to enjoy my company. When I leave a conversation, I would love for somebody to say, you know what? That is one nice guy. And for the most part, I'm a pretty nice guy. It's the Lord that's working in me more than it is me working in me. But at the end of the day, the truth matters more. I'm telling you, some parents need to understand that the truth matters more than what side your children is lined up on. Some people will defend their child knowing that their child is wrong. Amen. Because that's their child. Well, that's my baby. Let me tell you something. We need to fall in love with the truth more than we fall in love with a family member. We need to fall in love with the old ways that are right and righteous. We need to stand up for what is right. And if those that are falling by the wayside fall by the wayside, then so be it. But there's got to be a remnant of people who will stand and say, this is the right way. The entire chapter is full of trouble and destruction that was on its way. And right smack dab in the middle of all the problems, God had Jeremiah write down the answers to their dilemma. He says, I'm going to give you something to say that if the people will listen, it will fix their problem. Oh, good. We got a new medicine. Oh, good. There's a new pill. Oh, good. There's a new drug. There's a new answer. And everybody wants something that's packaged in a nice, bright, shiny new package. Amen. So can I tell you something? Even the sales world, they'll take something that's old and they'll repackage it to make you think that it's new. Everybody wants something new, but Jeremiah didn't come up with something new. He didn't say, I found a great revelation. No, he said, we need to get back to what brought us here in the first place. We need to go back to the one true living God and lift up his name. We need to become a nation of people that put God first again. And he says, stand in the ways and see. What's he saying? Go back to the old past and see if it doesn't fix you. Go back to the old ways and see if it doesn't heal you. Go back to the old ways. You don't need something new. You need to go back to what worked in the first place. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Jeremiah was trying to get a revival started in the nation of Israel. He said, you tell those priests and those prophets that have been dealing you false doctrine. Don't give me that stuff no more. It may seem easy up front, but it's not fixing our problems. It may seem like the answer right up front, but it's not. You tell them you don't want to hear that junk no more. You tell them to go back to the Word of God. You tell them you want to go back to the old ways, the old paths. Because it's a good way. When you find the old path, you walk therein, and then ye shall find rest for your souls. You don't need a new doctrine. We don't need a new remedy. We don't need a new path. I don't care if it's paved and it seems like it's surrounded with beautiful scenery. Let me tell you something. The old path is the way to heaven. When he says stand in the way, what it's meaning is look at the road that you're on. Tell me now, where is that taking you? Obviously it's not working because the Bible tells us what kind of a spiritual state that Israel was in, and they were walking down a path that was not the path that God had chosen for them, but it seemed like the easy way. The Bible calls it a broad way that many find. Why does many find it? Because it's got a large entrance to it. So large actually that hell has had to enlarge itself because so many are finding the path that is broad, but the end thereof leads to destruction. Let me tell you something. It may be an old path. There might not be so many that find it, but the end of this path that I'm walking is going to lead to a street of gold one of these days. It's going to walk me through a gate of pearl, and I'm going to see Jesus face to face. Give me the old path. Give me the old way. A man still must repent of his sins. A man still must be buried in baptism in the only name that saves us, which is Jesus Christ. A man still has to fall on his knees and cry out to God and pray until he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. That's not some newfangled idea. That's the old way. And that same way is working for today. That same way is still the way that, amen, that God has chosen for his people to make it to heaven. Look at the path that you're on. Where is it leading you? When you see where it's leading, it'll cause us to understand that the old road that we used to travel was a safe road. Look back, Israel, and see the victories that were won when the old paths were followed. Look back when we had men of God that didn't care how many hundreds of thousands wanted to do it their own way. Let me tell you something. The Bible, in certain spots, when Israel goes into some of its darkest days, right before it does that, it will say, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Is that not the mantra of the religious world today? Choose a church, any church. No, I'm sorry, but you choose a church that preaches and teaches truth and lives righteous and holy. Because there's coming a day when people are going to stand before the Lord in judgment, and He's going to reject them, and they're going to say, but Lord, we did all these things in Your name. We cast out demons in Your name. He's like, right, my name has power. Yeah, I'll always support somebody that uses my name, but don't you ever forget that it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Some people think, well, if I do this and I take care of that and I do all these sacrifices, if I do this, God has to look down upon all the things that I've done, and He's going to have to let me in because I have made all these sacrifices for Him. But the Lord says, I would rather have somebody obey my word and live according to my word than sacrifice everything in their life. Amen. We must obey His word. We must live according to His word. We must obey rather than sacrifice. Jeremiah says, remember when you slept well at night, Israel, because the Lord God was with you. Remember when Egypt was hot on your tails and you were led by a pillar, a fire and clouds. Do you remember how the Lord, it seemed like you were going to die out there in the wilderness, but God fed you with manna because you followed the man Moses. Do you remember as you walked into the promised land? Do you remember all of these things? All of those victories were accomplished under the old way. But now look where you are. You've got more material things. You're doing more things that appease the pleasure of your flesh, but you can't find any rest at night. You're troubled. You can't sleep. Don't forget how good you slept on the old path. Let me bring it down to us today. My grandpa walked this path and followed it until it brought him to a place of rest in a good land. He was an old Pentecostal preacher. Never had much. Died, didn't leave much behind. But he prepared a lot for what's ahead. Lived in a little old two-bedroom house, pastored churches that were relatively small, but he had some riches that were set up in glory that he's enjoying today. That's a beautiful story, Brother Ice. Let me tell you, though, I don't live this way because Grandpa lived this way. I grew up in a house where my father led the way. And he took us to church, and along with my mother, and they raised us, you know, cutting our teeth on the back of the pew. I fell asleep underneath church pews. I've been in services that didn't get out till 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm telling you, I've been a part of churches that have had the power of God move through them, and I have my father to thank for that, and my mother to thank for that. But I don't live this way because they live this way. You see, I can't ride my grandfather's coattail, my father's coattail to come to heaven, to get to heaven. I've got to figure it out on my own that there is a path that was set a long time before my father and my grandfather came into this world. Amen. It's a path that they found, and they introduced me to that path, but I could have walked off a different direction. I could have said, no, that's an old way. That's an old fuddy-duddy way. But somewhere along the line, I had to come to an experience where I realized that the old path was the best path, that there's no other path that I can go down to that will lead me to the same destination that path is going to lead me. And so I fell in love with the old way. I fell in love with the old path, and that's why I stand in this way. That's why I live like this. I've chosen the old path because I've stood at the crossroad, and I've heard the warning of the trumpets and chosen for myself a place where my soul can find rest. Because you see, for all of us, there's coming a day that as much as we try to stay awake, as much as we try to hang on, that we're going to lay this old body down, and this old body's going to say, there's no more. I can't stay awake any longer. I went to the funeral of a 33-year-old young man. It was a good, good young man. Three small boys, a wife that loved him, a good life by all standards, served God. One of the most touching pictures that I've seen in a long time, I saw as they put those picture boards up as we walked through that long line. I looked at those pictures of a dear friend that had grown up with me being part of the ministry team that helped get him into church. I watched as he grew in God. I watched as he grew in faith. And this man was a man of faith. When they diagnosed him with cancer, he said, no. He said, God's going to heal me. There came a point in time where he realized that God might not heal him, but he didn't turn bitter towards the Lord. He didn't look for a different path. He didn't call in for a Hindu priest to come in or a Muslim priest to come in. I saw a picture of him laying in that that hospice bed just a couple of days before he passed away, his arms raised high to the sky, thanking his Heavenly Father that he had found the old path. He didn't look for something new. You know, there's so many that look at the bright lights of a different path. And they start chasing it down a road that is unfamiliar. It seems easily. It seems brightly lit. The music on that path is almost intoxicating. Today I opened up the mail that had been in our mailbox for a couple of days, and I found a flyer here. It's not at a church that preaches truth. This man used to be great amongst us. He used to be mighty amongst us. He preached at youth conventions and large crowds came to hear him, and what he had to say was spot on. He was an amazing, amazing preacher, and he's still, I'm very sure, quite an amazing spokesperson, but today he does not still travel the old paths. He's bought into a compromising doctrine. He's bought into a path that seems a little bit easier. There's a little bit more people on this path. Man, I can go and instead of preaching to 100, I can now preach to thousands. I can be accepted by everyone that's around me. They'll hear me. They'll listen to me now, whereas before I just had a small group, but now my voice is heard. But what is he speaking? Stand in the way and see. Hold to the old path. Therein you'll find your answer. But some have chose to say they would not. They would not stand in the way. They would not heed to the old path. I'd rather be on a path that is proven than risk my soul to something just because it's shiny. You ever wonder what a fish is thinking? Well, I've never seen a bug like that hit the water before, but boy, that is a beautiful bug. Chomp, and the next thing you know, they're hooked and being drugged to a place they don't want to go. The way that you catch something that doesn't have too big of a brain is you make it shiny and flashy and watch them strike for it. You appeal to their weakness. You appeal to their animalistic desire. Don't buy into it. There's an old path that is the right way. But Brother Rice, that means that we may not grow to the size that maybe we could grow if we compromised a little bit or let up on certain things. If we just bent the rules, so to speak, if we just walked a different way, if we just accepted a few more things, then maybe we could. No, the old path, the old path. There's always going to be a voice crying, come with me. I found a new way. But don't be fooled. The old paths have already been laid. See, the path I'm walking down may not have certain men of our day that are acceptable as far as the religious realm goes as being the great amongst us. But the path I walk down is the same path that Moses walked down. It's the same path that the Apostle Paul walked down. It's the same path that led Luke. It's the same path, amen, that the disciples walked down, and many of them gave up their life. There's blood on this path that I'm walking down. It's the blood of the martyrs of the saints that chose to give up their life rather than choose another path that would lead them to a short-term benefit. They chose to stay on this path even though it might cost them their life and did cost many of them their life. But why did they do that? I'll tell you why they did it. They did it because they realized that at the end of this path, heaven was to gain. Amen. That the Lord was awaiting them at the end of this path. Everybody's path ends. I don't care how beautiful it is. I don't care how light and bright the lights may be shining on the different paths of this world. Every path that every human being walks has an end to it. The difference is, where does it end up at? And there's only two places. This path I'm on, friend, the Word of God tells me it's leading me to a place that I want to go. And that's why I have chosen this old path. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. He didn't say, I am a way, and I am a truth, and I am a life, but he said, I am the way, the truth. No big words, no fancy sayings, just simple truth. I've not come to you with some complicated message this morning to try to make you walk out of here and say, man, that guy knows how to put a message together. I've simply brought a simple truth to us today. Maybe it's an explanation in somebody's mind of why we live the way that we live, even though everybody else seems to be going off in a different direction. We choose an old path, an old way, because it's a proven path and a proven way. There's no shiny lights on the old path. It doesn't glimmer with appeal to those that are easily lured away by ease and comfort. Even the Word of God calls it a living sacrifice. He's not trying to tell you something that isn't true. Days can be difficult. Rejection can sometimes be hard. But oh, how well I sleep at night with my soul at rest. For those who refuse to give in to the bright lights of the broad way, I promise you this. You may struggle, and you may find rejection, and you may cry tears, and you may have hardships, but your soul will not suffer. Your soul will be at rest. Car lights on my dashboard that pop on. I drove around for years with a red engine light on, or yellow engine light on, not the red one, the yellow one. I took it to different places in town. They put it on this computer. I'm like, tell me what's wrong with my car. Why is this light on? Let's plug in this computer. And they come back. I'm like, finally, somebody can tell me what's wrong with the car. It seems like it's running okay, but it's just bugging me. I want that light off, and I don't want to fix it with a little black piece of tape, you know, to put over the light. I want it really fixed. That guy looked at his little computer, and he said, ah, okay. And I'm like, finally an answer. He said, it could be one of 16 things. 16 things. Where do I start? I don't know. So in other words, you're telling me that it's a shot in the dark. Yeah. We'll just have to start plugging away. I thought the computer thing was supposed to tell you what was wrong with your car. Not. I mean, I could come up with 16 different things that was wrong with my car. I pulled out of there and I just forget it. Drive around, look at a yellow light for another 2-3 years. I finally fixed it. Went and traded the car in. You know what I love? You know who I put my trust and my confidence in? that old gray-headed mechanic with oil underneath his fingernails. Said, yeah, let me come out there and see what he's got to say to me. And in his hand, he's got an old broomstick. A little odd contraption on the end of it. I'm like, what in the world is he going to do with that thing? He brings that old broomstick out, and he starts putting it down on different places in the car and listening to what the car is telling him. No, that's fine. Aha. Here's your problem. And what all the newfangled gadgetry cannot do, you got a gray-haired old man that's taken a method that's been used for years, and he puts that old $1.50 stick down there that he's had in the shop for the last 45 years, and he finds where the problem is at. There's something to be said about the old ways. Would you stand today? There's an old song my grandfather used to sing. He said, I've come this far, I find no fault, I feel like going on. That song, even though he's been dead for years, still lingers with me. Because there's a voice out there that cries, come on over here, do it this way. And it can be tempting at times, because I can see that it's a way that has less resistance. But then the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said this. He said, the path of least resistance never leads to a higher place. I said, okay, God, I hear you. The path of least resistance always goes to a lower place. Don't believe me? Just pour a glass of water on a hill, see where it goes. It's going to take the path of least resistance, and it will find its way down, never up. There might be some resistance to be found on this path, but I'm telling you, it's leading us upwards, not downwards.
Hallelujah.
It's leading us to a higher place, not some place that is lower. Let me finish with this morning. That one final thought that I had about the scripture was that it says, stand in the way. For me, that has two meanings today. Number one, it tells me stick with the old path. Stick with the message. Paul said, anybody that preaches any other gospel besides the one that we've already preached, let them be accursed. Even if it's an angel, let them be accursed. And just as I said before, I say it now again. Anybody that preaches any other gospel, any other way, let him be accursed. I'm sticking to the old way, the old gospel, the original way. But the second thing that I think about is that to stand in the way means that you're obstructing something. So I don't just stand in this way, but I stand in the way of things that would try to come in and cause us to go down a different way. I stand in the way, and I obstruct the voices that are trying to lure people from the way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to death. I want the old path. I want the old path. I wonder this morning, I'm not going to call for an altar call today. Every head bowed and every eye closed right now, if you would. And I just wonder if there would be somebody that would be bold enough this morning. Maybe that's been a question in your mind, maybe somewhere along your thought process, there's been maybe this isn't so important. I wonder today if we could just reestablish what path we're on in the Lord. If right now that you would just lift a hand and you would just commit to the Lord, God, I'm not looking for a loophole. I'm not going to look for a different path. path. I'm not looking for an easier way. God, my ultimate goal is not to find an easier life or an easier path. My ultimate goal is that the path I'm on leads me to heaven. Is there somebody that would just...